Welcome to Radical Simple Living. This is Series 2, Episode 21, and I'm talking as normal from my homestead here in southern Sweden. And it is springtime here in southern Sweden, and springtime tends to mean a busy time of year with planting and sowing and doing all sorts of things outside, winding up what I do in winter indoors and revving up what I do outside. It's a bit of a stop and start process because quite recently we've had some very warm days and some very warm nights. And this week it's going to skip back to something a little bit more wintry. We've got some snow on the forecast again and we've got some night frost back. And that's the way you have to play it this far north, I guess, that you have to resist the urge to go out and plant everything outside if you get a nice sunny day, and know that if you wait a bit, the rewards will be greater. That's hard for me because I'm really impatient to get things growing outside. I want to be out there. I want to be sowing things. I want to see, you know, the plots filling up with greenery. But it's better to wait just a little while, first of all. The reason it's good to wait is because you can have bad weather, you can have frost, you can have all sorts of things. But also, you don't actually get better crops by getting them that early here. This is my seventh year in Sweden. And the early couple of years, what I did was rush to get things out. And then later on, you'd plant some of the same crop a bit later on in the season. And then by midsummer, you realise the crop that you planted later is actually doing better than the one you planted early on. It's strange, but true. That's the way it happens. And one of the reasons that happens is we have these long daylight hours here. Those of you who do grow things in the north, in Canada, in the Nordic countries, in Siberia, places like that. You know, if you wait, you do get a good summer because your plants have extra growing hours every night. And because of that, they soon catch up because plants, what do they want? They want heat, they want sunshine, they want water. Well, the heat and the sunshine can be there, but the heat and the water can be there, but the sunshine you get so much more of late into the evening and from very early morning. So things catch up. Today, I want to talk to you about vision. Not vision with what you see, but vision into looking into the future a little bit with what you do. Now, it's not the same as being prepared, but it has degrees of common ground with being prepared about things. Vision means you have to look forward and see what's coming a little bit, doesn't it? Now, when we start talking about seeing what's coming, we realise there's an enormous pitfall here, that a lot of the time we have no idea what is coming. We have no idea what is round the corner. Especially the world in its sort of fairly fragile state that it is at the moment. An event can happen somewhere and have knock-on consequences for all of us elsewhere, either in terms of the economy or in terms of the political outlook for our place of living, all kinds of things like that. I'm here in Sweden. There's a war going on not too far away. And there's other wars going on a bit further away. That does have an effect on what I do here. It might not be an immediate effect, but it does. It puts prices up. It makes things less stable. It makes people more worried. All of those things have an effect. So we can't do anything about that. As much as we would like to, I can't do anything about those big world events. I, like the rest of you, just have to try and work around them and carry on. And carrying on is really important. You can't afford to stop what you're doing because the world is going crazy. If you're determined that you want to live simply, if you want to grow some of your own food, if you want to make all your meals from scratch, if you want to start making your home better by DIY, all of these things, you've got to carry on whatever else is happening. That's very, very important. And in fact, some of those things you might do, like growing your own food or making your own clothing, you're going to be at a positive advantage if things get difficult, if prices go up, if inflation takes place. These things are actually going to help you get through that. So there are those things we can't control. There are those things that just happen and we don't know when they're going to happen and we don't know how long they're going to go on for. But there are other things that we ourselves are directly doing that are going to be helpful. And this is where an idea of vision comes on. What vision means is while you're doing things, you're looking at what you're going to be doing in the future. You're looking and saying, right, next year I'm going to do this differently. You're looking and saying, I need to get this better. By next time I have to do it, I need to improve it in some way. It also means saying, oh, it's going to get really cold in a couple of months' time. Have I got enough provisions in? Have I got enough firewood in? Have I got enough candles in case of power cuts, which happen here with alarming regularity? So vision means looking forward to what you know is what's going to happen, but also keeping an eye on what might happen. Now, let's talk about food, first of all, because as you know, my outlook on the world is an agrarian one. I believe that food production and food distribution is one of the most, if not the most important activity that takes place on our planet. And anybody thinks that some company making some bit of software or some bit of device that the world has done without for a long time, these things are not more important than producing food. There's lots of important jobs, and maybe you do one. Maybe you're a fire officer, or maybe you're a plumber, or maybe you're a doctor, or a whole load of really useful jobs. Some are very high profile and well paid, and others aren't well paid and are under respected. But your job may be important. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is the really important jobs on the planet have to do with you getting food, because if you don't get food, you can't do your job properly. If you can't ensure that your provisions are going to be kept up to date, then you've got problems. Now, somebody might lead a really simple life, and what they're thinking of is, what do I need to grow this year? What crops do I need to get in the ground? Have I grown enough of this crop? Have I got enough canning equipment to be able to process it, or freezer space to be able to freeze it? What am I going to do if I get pests? What am I going to do if the weather isn't good enough? All of these things involve a degree of vision. For somebody living a life that is on the surface more simple, but in fact more complex, where you get your food from might be, oh, I'll pop in and get something from the supermarket on the way home from work. That's all the planning you need to do to get your food. You just think, I'll go to the supermarket, pick up a meal. What do I fancy tonight? Oh yeah, I like that. I'll get some of that, take it home, put it in the microwave, eat it. It seems very simple. But in actual fact, it's a lot more complex than somebody that's growing their own food or planning to grow their own food and canning their own food and pickling their own food and drying their own food and generally taking care of what they eat themselves. Now, how can that be more simple than somebody going to the supermarket? And the answer to that is who's in control of this and what can go wrong. If you're growing your own food, you're in control. Because it's a slow process, you can see things going wrong. You can make provision for it. You can help plan for it. You can base your plans on previous success or previous failure. You can base your plans on great expectations. If you're going to the supermarket, somebody else has had to do the planning for you. Your food has had to be grown on a farm, processed in a factory, distributed by a food distribution company, stacked on the shelves, sold to you. You have to have a credit card or money to go and buy it. All of those things make your life simpler, but they also make your life more complicated because you've got to be earning the money. You've got to have the credit card and you've got to pay the bill at the end of the month. You've got to hope that nothing has gone wrong with the distribution of food. You've got to make sure that the crop didn't fail that year and what you want is actually on the shelf of the supermarket. You've got to make sure that the people distributing the food haven't had their truck break down or get trapped in the snow or floodwater. So all these things are complicated in order that you can just go and pick something off the shelf. Now you might say, okay, I'm prepared to accept that because my life is busy and I want to go and pick something off the shelf. And I do understand that. But what you do have to accept is that lots of things can go wrong with that process. If you're growing your own food, it's probably not going to cost you very much. Apart from the seed, if you've saved your own seed, it's not going to cost you much at all. You're responsible for getting in the harvest, but you can sit back in winter and have lots of food ready to eat when you want it, when you can't grow food. And winter here in Sweden is long and cold, and you need lots of food, and you need lots of firewood, and you need lots of candles, and you need lots of all kinds of things to help get through those sparse times of winter and early spring by growing lots of food in the summer. So foresight, vision is really necessary because you're always planning for what's going to happen next year. And I'll tell you something, you are very aware that things can go wrong and you want to plan every year. You know, the crops didn't work well on that plot because there just wasn't enough sunshine there. It's too shady. So this year I've got to grow a crop on that plot that I want to grow that's going to enjoy the shade, is going to be happier, is a cooler crop. It doesn't want to be fried in the sun every day. It wants to be moist and shady. Here in Sweden, in southern Sweden, in Småland where I live, we have droughts, and droughts can be a problem, and droughts can encourage all kinds of pests and things like that. So you've got to plan for that. But you're planning about something you can't do anything to stop. All you can do is try and modify to increase the moisture retaining quality of the soil in your growing space, and think very carefully about the varieties of what you want to grow. Okay, now that's all about growing things, and some of you don't grow things, I know. So let's talk about something that we all need, which is money. Now, can you plan for money? Well, of course you can. You can get somebody to do the planning for money for you. They'll take a slice off the top, but that's you know, that's something many people are prepared to do with. If you're growing your own food, yeah, you have costs. You have the cost of seed, you have the cost of any products you use in your garden, although after a while you can get by with very few products, to be honest. But you have those costs. If you are living in a city and everything that you get you have to buy, you're going to be more worried about cost than people living out in the countryside with a wood-burning stove and a vegetable plot. Because you have all these factors that you can't control really hammering down on you. Your mortgage goes up, your food bill goes up, your fuel costs go up, and your wages probably don't go up as fast as all these things. Now, I know politicians are running around like mad telling us that inflation has come down and saying, oh yeah, inflation's down now. But inflation is inflation. As long as inflation is a positive number, food and other costs are still going up. And all the inflation we had last year and the year before hasn't gone away. Those food prices went up. And now there's a smaller amount of food increase prices going on top of that. So all in all, we have problems. You don't eliminate those problems by being more self-sufficient. You don't eliminate those problems by growing things yourself. But what you may do is reduce them a lot. The Amish, I talk about the Amish a lot. In mainly North America, and also many in South America, not many in Europe, but they don't have to worry as much about those external forces as we have to worry. If there's war in the Middle East, all of us have to worry. The Amish that aren't oil dependent and aren't financially dependent on the system have a lot less to worry about. They're still growing their crops, they're still enjoying what they do, but they don't have to worry quite as much as the rest of us about what's happening in the world. Now, can you plan for your money? Well, of course you can, but you don't know what the inflation rate is going to be next year. And if you do want to know what the inflation rate is going to be next year, you're probably one of those people that sit in front of three computer screens with ticker tape and stuff like this, kind of doing all kinds of calculations to work out what's happening in the world. Most of us have to sit back and take the inflation they throw at us. We have very little choice. And if you're saving money, yeah, you can save money, but is the interest you're going to get less than the inflation? So if you want to buy a new washing machine this year, is saving the money for next year, is it going to have gone up so much that the money you've saved isn't going to cover it anymore? So life's difficult. Life's difficult. My advice is, if you have devices in your home that you rely upon, like a washing machine, for instance, look after it. Extend its life. Be kind to it. Don't overload it. Clean it nicely. Clean out the pump occasionally. Make sure the powder drawer doesn't get clogged up. Look after your washing machine. You might extend its life by 10, 15, 20%. And if you've done that, you have saved money. You've saved money by simple homesteading skills of looking after what you've got. That's one way you can have vision for the future. Say, this washing machine might last 5 years, but if I look after it really, really well, it might last me 7 years. It might even last 10 years, in which case you've done a wonderful thing. Okay, so money requires vision as well. And vision in money doesn't always mean that many of us can't do this. It doesn't always mean putting money away and saving it and getting vast amounts in the bank account. Vast amounts in the bank account are fine, but if inflation is too high, the amount you've got saved isn't what you thought it was. It has decreased in value. So having vision about money usually means looking carefully at what you buy and making sure it's a good investment. I have a problem with my cellar that it fills up with water when the snow melts or when there's very heavy rainfall. And I buy pumps, and the pumps occasionally fail, and then I try and fix them. And then it gets to the point occasionally where a pump can't be fixed and I have to buy a new one, as I've had to do this month. Now, I'm faced with the dilemma of, do I spend a lot of money on a pump? Do I spend $500 on a new pump? Or do I buy a new pump for $60? Well, a pump usually lasts me between 2 and 5 years. And if it's lasting 2 or 5 years at $60 a time, if I paid $500 for a pump, would it last me that much longer? And the answer to that is maybe it wouldn't. Maybe I can buy 5 pumps at £60 and they'll last as long as one pump at £500. So I've actually saved some money there along the way. So you see how this works. That's a choice you have to make and a decision you have to take. Also, a £500 pump. I'm just going to cover my keyboard because a cat is coming this way. Also, a £500 pump. Nope, she's got off the table. That's good. A £500 pump, if it breaks down, you feel obliged to get it repaired. And that might be beyond your repairing potential, in which case you have to pay somebody. So over 10 years, a £500 pump might cost you more than £500. You might spend £500 on the pump and $200 on repairing it over a time span. So a cheaper pump that you can repair yourself, and if you can't repair it, you recycle it, might be the answer. That's sometimes how these things work, isn't it? So foresight is important. Planning, thinking, trying to foresee what's going to happen in the future. Now, one of the ways you can foresee it is, what do I do if I can't get a pump in the future? And then you might want to invest in some sort of hand pump or other pump that can get the water out. I do have a hand pump. I do have a, a petrol driven pump, a gas driven pump, but that is a bit of an awkward machine, and that's for really if the cellar floods and I get a power cut at the same time. That's the time I get that machine out, and then it takes a day or two to get that machine going, so I don't do it easily. If you think about your health, health is a bit like world events, isn't it? You don't know if you're suddenly going to develop some health problem that you never had before. We hear all the time of people who suddenly, through no fault of their own, come down with a terrible health issue, and it knocks them back. It knocks them back in what they do. It knocks them back on their plans for the future. It might, if you live in a country which doesn't have a free health service, it might knock your finances back as well. And these are terrible things to happen. And a lot of you will be saying, well, I can't plan for those health problems. Okay, if you live in a country where private health insurance is needed, you might get a really good health insurance policy. And there's a cat scratching to go out. I just have to pause here. There, I opened the door for the cat, and then the cat spent 2 minutes looking out the door before making that final decision to actually go outside. That's cats for you. Yeah, you might think that health is not part of your vision, but it can be, and it should be, because if you're a bit like somebody going to pick up a meal from the supermarket shelf and take it home and microwave it, and if you're doing that tonight, I'm not having a go at you personally, believe me, I'm just using that as an example. I understand that life isn't always as easy as it might be, and sometimes you have to do that. But some people regard their health a little bit like that. They say, oh, I'll carry on doing what I'm doing, and if I get ill, I'll go and see the doctor, and the doctor will give me a pharmaceutical product, and I'll take that, and it'll all be better, and I can carry on doing what I did before. Say, oh, my blood cholesterol has got too high, I'll go and get some statins, and that'll solve that. And that isn't really the simple way to do it. The simple way to avoid health problems in the future, and it's not going to avoid all those health problems, but it can involve a lot of them, is to plan carefully for how you live. You know that if you put too much food in your body, if you put tobacco-based products in your body, if you drink too much alcohol, if you take too little exercise, if you get too little sleep, if you get too little fresh air, if you don't do all the things you need to do to look after your body, you know you will face consequences. If you don't bother cleaning your teeth, you will pay in pain and money at a dentist. We know the best way to make insightful, visionary plans for our health is to look after the body we've got as well as we can. That way, it's not saying that things won't happen to you. You can still develop a heart problem. Your body's a complicated organism. All sorts of things can go wrong. And looking after your body isn't going to guarantee that you're not going to get those problems. But it can delay a long way when these problems develop. A lot of these problems we say are lifestyle problems that develop into people in, you know, somewhere between middle age and old age, somewhere between the ages of 45 and 85, all sorts of things happen. What you can do by looking after your body is to shift the likelihood of when that's going to happen into the distance a bit. So you don't want to develop a health problem when you're 45. You might, by careful planning, put off that health problem till you're 75 or till you're 85, or you might put it off altogether. So a vision of what you want to do in the future can help you make plans and help you make good choices and help you get over those issues. So again, it's vision. It's not exactly the same as planning, because you don't know what's going to happen to your health. Even if you're a wonderfully fit and healthy person, you can still break a leg badly. You can still develop a genetic disease that you didn't know you had, but you know, when they investigate it, they say, oh, it's all in your genes, well, you've got this. So bad things can happen, but vision and planning can help you avert them, help you postpone them. And if you're fit and healthy and taking a lot of exercise, you're also going to notice when things are going to go wrong more quickly. If you're not taking a lot of exercise, you're not going to notice so much when you develop pain in part of your body. That might be an indication that you can do something to stop something terrible happening to you. I don't know. So vision is important. Planning is important. The two things together can help you plan a simple life. Or you can just let things happen to you. Or you can go home tonight, grab something to eat on the way home, not worry at all about what you're going to be eating next year, not worry at all about how your health is going to be in the future, not worry at all about your finances. But you are in a vulnerable position if you're not doing anything for yourself. If you're not growing your own food, if you don't know how to cook your food, if you're not looking after your money properly, if you're not looking after your health properly, you are vulnerable. Being vulnerable isn't simple. Being vulnerable is very, very complicated. Okay, what happens here in spring? Well, to start with, my animals stop living in the kitchen by the fireside and spend a lot of their time outside. So my four cats are now all outside. My husky dog is outside. They're all enjoying the sunshine, even though it's a quite chilly wind blowing today. We've had tremendous problems with wind this week. We've had tremendous problems with flooding in the country and all over Europe. And I know many of you have in other parts of the world too. In the US and in Australia, there have been some difficult weather conditions going on. So these things are affecting all of us. And however carefully we plan, we can't do that much about them happening. I hope wherever you are safe. And I hope wherever you are, the floods and the winds and the almost all other weather conditions and volcanic activity and everything else isn't happening to you right at this time. I hope that whatever happens around you, you can keep a cool head, you can keep calm, you can focus on what you're doing. Remember, by living a simple life, you're not adding to the world's problems in any way whatsoever. You are removing yourself from some of those problems. You are leaving resources for other people, and above all, you're taking care of your bit of the planet, and you're taking care of the whole planet if enough of us do that. So that's important. Okay, now you can contact me anytime you like. I do answer emails, although I might take a bit of time to get to them. And the email address is very easy. It's Radical Simple Living as one word, Radical Simple Living @gmail.com. And if you do email me, you can make clear whether you want an answer in an email or whether you would prefer me to answer in a podcast, which I'm very willing to do, as long as it's not a very specific problem. You know, a problem that is going to be of use to everybody, I will talk about. Something that's of use to you only isn't going to be of interest to the rest of the world. But please contact me if you like. You can reach me on social media. I go by the name Ray Lovegrove on social media because that's my name. I sometimes have to put other handles to it because different social media things like different handles, and there's nothing worse than the handle you use on one social media and you go to another one and it says that's already been taken. Really? So you can find me on Facebook as Ray Lovegrove. You can find me on Twitter, sometimes known as X, but not by me, as Ray Lovegrove. You can find me on Mastodon as Ray Lovegrove. You can find me on Threads as Ray Lovegrove. And you can find me on Blue Sky as Ray Lovegrove. So do join me there if you're not with me already, and I'll be pleased to see you. If you enjoy these podcasts and if you find them useful, do use your social media links to push them a little bit. I could do with all the help I can get on this, please. And if you know somebody that would really hate this podcast because they can't stand this kind of thing, send them a link anyway. Because it's very good for people to listen to things they don't like occasionally, isn't it? I have to do it all the time. So, you know, why shouldn't other people too? But whatever you do, however you spread the word, I am very grateful to you. And I'm looking forward to when I can welcome you here again to my kitchen in southern Sweden. And the next time I talk to you, spring will be a little bit closer and I hope those frosty nights will be a little bit better. Okay, nice to talk with you. Bye for now.